Hello, nice. Fred Boat. I love your voice. Westwood One Radio Network.
That's right, Westwood One. We didn't record our garbage time. You guys ready?
Oh yeah.
Any other stuff?
I'm ready to escape a world of trials, tribulation, and disease and enter a world of trials, tribulation, and disease. Because yeah. Rodney's double snake bit.
I didn't think about that. We foretold the coming disease.
So prescient. Yeah.
It's funny, we were supposed to play Fall of Delta Green on Sunday, which we scheduled, you know, just kind of off the cuff. It was the end of the session. Oh yeah, you know, the 12th works for everybody. Let's just get on. Well, then Sunday morning I wake up and all of a sudden it's Easter. And I don't, you know, I don't track that.
Oh
so.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
And you know, and most of that stuff's in the morning, but we still, you know, I made a nice dinner and we did the whole thing. And at about 6 o'clock, well, you know, I better get on here pretty soon. And then an hour after we were supposed to start, Matt gets on. I don't, it wasn't quite that late, but maybe 30 minutes. He gets on. He's like, yeah, it's family night with the family. And I forgot I did this. And we had that scheduled. So we didn't end up playing, but we just sat on the call, you know, the rest of us for another like hour and a half, and just kind of decompressed on a Sunday night. It was nice. We have, you know, all of us kind of still have the this is my whole social, you know, the guild.
Yeah.
Other people are like, yeah, I can't see my friends. Like, yeah, I didn't see my friends anyway. We still get together as much as we did before, but yeah. I see them once or twice a year.
As we like to say, we've been preparing for years. Mm-hmm. We've been ready for this moment.
I did that, the first session of the white event.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of the deal is that, you know, you're supposed to play yourself as a character. And then, but then as I was getting ready, it's like, you know what? I don't know how well I really know anybody.
Oh yeah.
So I told everybody, you can play yourself how you want to play yourself, but no one will know.
We just have our online personas.
That's right.
I'm going to the gym for my sixth workout of the week. What's that great flash in the sky?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. It was funny when I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I was hanging out with some buddies last night. I'm like, oh, you know, like, how were you up until one? Where were you? Like, oh no, we were just online. Oh, you're one of those people. Yeah. I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I like to get on Revolver somewhere around 11:45 at night.
That's right. All right, into Dungeon World. You guys ready for a boss fight?
Yes. Yeah. I already have the Star Trek music in my head.
Exactly. You got to do the double-handed fist, double-handed punch.
Always ready.
So where we left off, Rodney was kind of, I think, about to get up, or in the process of getting up from a sick bed in the keeper's, what are we calling her? The keeper's advisor's quarters. And Otteroz was rushing into the second wish with Makalu and his men.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Because they got away, didn't they?
They got away.
And then they chased them down to the second wish. That's right.
That's right. Yep. Yep. You guys had the kids up on the rooftops, and they saw people coming and going. One of them, I guess to tell the rest of the story, one of them was, or I guess two of them got caught sneaking in your guys' stuff. Otaraz killed one of them. The other got away. And also in the advisor's chambers is the cup you guys originally found in that that first adventure, and it's trying to get back to the second wish. It was trying to pull itself back.
Yeah, and how did we abate that movement? There was something we did.
You put it in their heaviest chest, and then she secured it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And can you remind Rodney what his second malady is?
It is the ice.
Ah, yes, from that circle that we visited, right?
You touched the woman, Outie, and took it from her. So I guess I don't know if we talked about it necessarily, but what happened is she was investigating the body of the Minotaur that you guys killed, and even though you told her not to touch it, she touched it because she was fascinated by it. And so she got infected by its ice infliction, or cold fire infliction. And you saw it on her when she was, I think she was helping you. When you guys were investigating the circle, that's when it happened. She leaned over and her glove fell down or whatever, and you took it from her.
And that's when I rolled my 9, walked right up to her, didn't even think about it. Didn't even think twice. Just going to go up there and do a little lay of hands.
It was so close, that 9.
All right, thank you. Up to speed.
Yeah, and I think it's just caught up. Let me see. Pull up these things.
And I'm sorry, where is Rodney right now? He's recovering in back at the
inn. Yeah. No, at the advisor's house. I think he was... Let's do that. Otaraz, you're at the second wish. He is it's really kind of like in here somewhere. So her quarters are part of the, you know, inside the keep.
Okay.
And if I remember correctly, I think you were getting up, Rodney.
That rings a bell.
I think so. Not because you knew what was going on, but you just had a feel. Because you guys don't have the telepathic link anymore. Otaraz did that with Andu the boy. I think that gets us where we are. All right. So where we left off, and I guess Rodney, I guess we can say it now. If not, are you heading that direction, or are you gonna try to recover a little bit?
Yeah, I'm gonna head in that direction. I'm probably gonna take a little stock of my body and just see what the hell's going on. Mm-hmm. Just a little VSE across the limbs and see if things have gotten any worse or changed or what.
So I think what we said is you could kind of feel the inflictions kind of struggling against each other. They're like kind of they're both trying to kill you, and they, you know, not sentiently, but you know, they're struggling against each other.
I bet you that feels really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great for sure. And I don't know. Looking at your stuff, like from a gear perspective, if you had any, like, you have adventuring gear, I don't think that applies necessarily. You could turn that into, you could turn some of your adventuring gear into the potion, I think, if we wanted to do that. I don't know, have you even taken much HP damage? You're -1 going forward. Yeah, your hit points are pretty good still. Yeah, you're just... Narratively, you're in bad shape, but hit points wise, you're not too bad.
Just waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what I really have by way of Anything on my person that's going to be of any benefit, like any kind of concoction that I could make or what? Mm-hmm. So I think I'm just going to kind of tough it out.
I will take a bag.
Yeah, exactly. You read my mind. You read my mind. That's good for what ails you.
Yep. Here, here.
All right, okay, so Rodney's taking stock of himself. He's like, well, another day of feeling like crap. Let's go.
What's new? And I think Auti is going to join you. She's, you know, we're in the thick of it. Her city is being threatened. She knows Mikalo and her men and his men are on their way. So she's going to accompany you. And then back.
I offer her the Boda bag.
She's gonna decline. She had some wine with dinner.
It's here anytime.
Yep. She'll save it for when it gets real. And then back at the second wish, where we left off, Autoraz, you and Mikalo were at the door, this back door here,
mm-hmm.
into the second wish, and he rushed in front of you. And you can hear inside is there's kind of a clamor of people moving. These guys are wearing armor, so you can kind of hear the clanging. You can hear footsteps up above on the second floor for sure. And it's kind of a din inside. You guys know for sure there. I think you guys had evidence of. I think 5 to 7 people, I think, is what you had evidence of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds right. And one of them is dead.
In McCullough, he had there were other guard types with him, right?
Yeah, so I think 2 had gone in, and then when he got there, he had 2 more guys with him.
Okay.
So there are 5 of you, and that's 5 to 7 of them.
I like those odds, especially if I can cast Mirror Image.
Oh.
So I did level up last time, so I went through and
okay.
gave myself a new spell.
Okay.
I don't know if what I is? That immediately.
We could do it. Yeah.
Let's pretend that it does.
Since you put in the work, it doesn't, but we can do that. No, I'm gonna roll with it.
Nice.
What does Mirror Image do?
Let's see. I create an illusory image of myself.
Oh, okay. So you're sending like a simulacra down?
Yeah. When you are attacked, roll a d6. On a 4, 5, 6, the attack hits the illusion instead.
Cool.
The image dissipates and the spell ends.
Well, that'll be handy. Okay. So you see Mikalo go through this door here. Which way are you going to go?
I'm sorry, I had multiple windows open. He went through this back door.
He went through right here. Yeah. Oh, so he went through there and then yeah.
And if I remember correctly, those are both stairs up and down because
that's
down
right.
was the funky yep. stairs or star, and then upstairs was like a dormitory.
Yep.
And you said I heard the action going on upstairs.
You do hear action going on upstairs. Yeah.
All right, I better go step in. I'm gonna go through the door and head up the stairs.
Okay. Let's unveil that. So upstairs is pretty much how Andu explained it. There's bunks, not Yeah, bunks. They're you know, wooden beds that are obviously crammed into this space. They each have a footlocker with them. There's some chairs and a bookshelf, or a couple bookshelves kind of strewn about. You know, it's obviously hastily put together. You get the idea that the proprietor would have originally stayed here, but they've kind of jammed all this stuff in here.
It does look crowded.
Yeah, that's right. So that's kind of the setting. What you see when you go up there is there are three of these blue cloaks who two of Mikalo's men have you know, pinned against the beds. They're kind of holding them down and screaming at him, you know, stay down, trying to get some rope together to tie him up. So it's Mikalo, two of his men, and they're keeping three of these blue cloaks tied up. And I think Rodney, about now you and Audi can show up.
Alrighty.
Are you going to come in the back door or the front door?
Back door.
And of course, not knowing which way Otteroz went with his guys, where are you going to go?
I think Rodney, for better or for worse, is going downstairs unless he hears something that sways him otherwise. He's pretty much making a beeline in his mind for the downstairs because he's all sure. about that cup and everything that happened yep. down there. Mm.
So you hear some yelling upstairs. I kind of picture the stairwell being a little bit open air, you know, because it spirals up and spirals down. So there's like a landing. So you would get
sure.
the voices from upstairs. But as you get closer, knowing that you're intent on the basement, you do hear some sounds from downstairs as well. And you can head downstairs. Upstairs, I think Mikalo is looking to you, Otteroz, to see what you want to do with these guys. Are these the men you're after?
Absolutely. Make sure they're secured.
Is one of these...
Except for this one right here. And I point to one of the guys.
Okay. You going to bring him with you?
I'd like to try to charm him. Charm person.
Mm. Excellent.
Or do I want to...
Yeah, so I think you're... And we didn't cast the spell.
That's right.
I think for that, you... I think you can only have one spell going at a time. But we didn't cast it, and if you don't want to have that going yet, you don't necessarily need to if you want to try to charm him.
Yeah, let's roll with it.
Okay.
Now I'll roll with it. let's see. I got cast a spell, intelligence. What did I do? Where's my button? Oh, not great.
So seven?
Oh, not uh-huh. horrible. Let's see. Did I get my plus two in there? I sure did. Okay, so seven. The spell is cast, but choose one. I draw unwelcome attention. The spell disrupts the fabric of reality. Take minus one ongoing. After it's cast, the spell is forgotten. And minus one ongoing, that's like for future rolls, right?
Yeah, until you prepare again. Yep.
I prepare. Ew, I don't like that one. I'll forget the spell.
You know, classic.
I'm level four now, so it's like I got spells to...
I don't need this level one spell.
Oh, yeah. Just for this one time.
Very nice.
All right.
Charm person says, the person you touch while casting the spell counts you as a friend until they take damage or you prove otherwise. Okay. So Mikalo and his two men are tying the other guys up, and they'll march them downstairs. So you're in this room with this guy. You do hear kind of a kerfuffle going on downstairs. There's some some loud, muffled voices.
There you are. Good to see you again. What was your name again? My friend?
His name is... Orgad.
So, man, just some craziness going on here. You know, you had told me before that there were things to be concerned about. What were those? Like, do we have to be careful when we go in the basement, right? Did I have that right?
Nice. What are you going to say, Pete?
Oh, I was just saying I like it.
Yeah. Get some research. He says, careful, no. Tonight is the night. Glory awaits us. And he looks at you, he says, are you undercover? Where are your robes?
You know what? My robes were damaged and I needed to get another set for the big night tonight, right? I don't want to go in like this, right?
Well, we must hurry.
I was thinking the same thing, friend.
Very nice. Very nice. Would you? And he's thinking. Mm-hmm. He says preparations must be made, and he goes to open his footlocker. Mm-hmm. Are you gonna let him open his footlocker?
Get that thing.
he opens it. He flings his footlocker open and grabs another blue cloak and hands you.
Ah, wonderful.
This way, and he'll rush downstairs.
Yeah. Now you're ready for your role, right? Because I've been reading up on my role.
I think he's down. He got an opening to get downstairs.
All right.
Otaraz, sure.
I'll be right there.
Yep. So Otaraz, you're approaching the landing and you see this blue cloak rush down in front of you. And I guess maybe Otaraz, do you want to ask your mirror image? What's it called? Do you want to do that now?
Mirror image. Oh, this is a different blue cloak?
No, this is the guy who you let go downstairs. He's rushing in front of Rodney as Rodney out here about to go.
Would you say organic? Not organic. What was org?
Orgad?
Orgad. Okay. So I see Orgad head downstairs.
Yep.
To the basement, right?
Yep. Yep.
So
he hands you a cloak and then he rushes downstairs.
Okay.
So I guess, are you going to put the cloak on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sweet.
Okay. Rodney sees me.
Hang on a sec, guys. I gotta hit the head. I'll be right back. I'm sorry.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I'll put it on. What's the worst that could happen?
What's the worst?
And yeah, let's get mirror image going.
Nice.
So we think that'll break up the charm, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he still counts you a friend.
Okay. Well, now I got the robe on, of course.
That's right.
All right. So let me cast a spell move.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, a little bit better. Same deal here.
Same deal.
I'll just use it this one time, so I'll lose it.
Okay.
It becomes unprepared, right?
Right, right. It's the finale. You won't need it again.
Yeah. I definitely want to use it.
That's right.
And yeah. If I can't use it till tomorrow or whenever I prepare.
That might come in handy.
Yeah.
So we'll wait till Pete gets back.
Yeah. Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of details. I just assume it's truly a mirror image.
Like I would think so. Yeah.
Just another duplicate.
Another you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
and a lot more levels of spells.
Yeah, I think you know, campaign play of this would be pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Although I think at 10 they retire.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's the idea. Sounds familiar. Yeah. Which is kind of cool too.
The Wizard Spells page in the book quotes Arrested Development. Not tricks, Michael. Illusions. My wife and I were talking about that show the other night. I think I want to see it again.
It's so good. My wife and I, whenever we see a Volvo on the street, mm-hmm. It's not a Volvo. When Porsche, what's her name? Porsche de Rossi sits on the copier. looking car. It's a good one. So how did while we're in sub garbage time, how did the white event go?
Pretty well, I think. Yeah. I mean, it was Backdoor and C-Rack and, I mean, it kind of covered what I wanted, but I think what I discovered is, you know, I've run published stuff for so long or exclusively, like the thing about the GURPS stuff is like, it's from scratch, you know? So it feels like a lot more to keep track of, or feels like you got to fill in more gaps, which I mean, almost certainly true, but it's just, you do feel that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah. No worries.
No worries.
Yeah. I'm excited to play it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to find time and, I could just do another session for guys.
I had fun building myself. It was enlightening and troubling, and and the game of it too was cool.
Yeah. The first half hour is basically me talking to Rocket. No, it was Rocket Man.
Okay. Yep.
Not Backdoor. Rocket Man. Talking to him about his morning routine as he gets ready for work.
Oh. Okay.
And I got to the point, I was like, oh, this is going to be fascinating listening. tell me more about your brushing your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I kept on prompting him. I had a reason behind it. But anyway, it's fun. We had some laughs.
That's fun. I dig it.
All right. So I just doubled up with my mirror image, and I was chasing Orgad, or following Orgad downstairs.
So I'm kind of treating the mirror image as like it's almost on top of you. So it's like, you know, you're almost like blurry. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of where, you know, it's not operating necessarily independently, but that's why there's that chance that it will get hit instead.
Got it. Just enough of a difference to maybe avoid.
Mm-hmm. If you go left, it goes right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Rodney, at the landing in this little inner room here, Audi is right behind you. You see a blue cloak rush down in front of you as you're opening the door, and then you see a second cloak rush down.
I haul ass right after him.
Okay. And Adaraz, you hear the door close as you're past that landing, and you hear two people follow you down the stairs.
So as if they were on the first floor,
right?
Okay, yeah.
It's Rodney and Audi.
You got it. Yep, got it. So I just passed them.
Yep, I'm doing the telling you what you hear and what you know. Even though you guys are, so now you guys are both downstairs. Yes, in this basement with the summoning star or summoning circle. And the, you, so there are two, let's, so I'm going to set the scene here a little bit. So the, as you are coming down the stairs, you hear, you know, you've been hearing kind of muffled talking from coming down here as you kind of breach from the first floor into the basement. The sounds become a little bit clearer, and sounds like Adaraz, you would know. It sounds like a ritual. It sounds like chanting isn't the right word, but a ritual. You know, it's kind of otherworldly language, people speaking in unison, and the air is a little unstill down here. There's almost like a static electricity, and that ozone smell that you smelled last time is really strong. It smells like, you know, fresh lightning. As you get downstairs into the landing, there are two of the city watch. They're not shackled. They're just pushed up, almost spread eagle against the wall, the back wall there. And in the circle, so around the circle, all seven points are filled with these blue cloak acolytes. And in the center is a man you haven't seen before. He's an older looking man. He's wearing white robes with that same kind of, you know, chalice symbol in a gold. It's a gold like amulet on a necklace, where most of the symbols that you've seen of that are just, you know, carved in or debossed on something, like inlaid of just those two shapes. His actually has red jewels in those cups.
He looks of physical form, not like he's summoned or non-corporeal or anything. Okay.
That's right. Yep. And he's not standing on the floor. He's in that internal circle of chalk, but he's kind of levitating as he and these acolytes are going through the ritual.
Rodney busts a move.
What you doing?
He's going to go for I am the law.
Oh, nice. Lay it down.
All right. By the ale horn of Coot, I demand you cease this blasphemy.
That's a 10. Yeah.
You will do as Coot wills.
Nice.
Very nice. So this, the guy in this, will look at you, and will, he stops talking, and he looks at you, and he says, Master of Coot, what is your will? And as he says that, the circle breaks. The guy in the middle hits the ground as he, you know, as the summoning ritual kind of ceases. But he is in your throes, and this man behind him in the center of the circle says, "You dare be gone from this."
Oh, you're cutting out. You're cutting out. You're cutting out. It's all dramatic. What was that again?
What do you hear? Uh-oh.
I'm still here.
Hear you, Jason.
Hear me?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. What was the last thing you got?
The guy in the center just started to yell that I missed it.
So he's obviously affronted, and he is not to being disobeyed or being inconvenienced in this way. And he basically screams at you, "You dare!" But this one acolyte is in your throw, Rodney.
Put that man at the center of the circle in your strongest bear hug?
Okay. And he'll rush at the guy, and the guy in the middle, just with a wave of his hand, kind of lightning comes out and strikes this this acolyte down. Adaraz, the guy who rushed down in front of you, goes and stands in his place. the man in the white robe will basically pick up the corpse of this acolyte and throw him, and he's kind of crumpled.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go on.
The acolytes who are at the points of the star, like, it seems like they're standing there. Are they doing anything? Are they motioning? Are they chanting? Are they dancing?
They were chanting. Yeah. Mm. So this kind of broke their summoning. Mm. And they're, you know, the guy in front of you, his place, and they're wanting to get their ritual back on.
Rodney does a quick count of blue cloaks remaining and compares them to the number of spaces around the circle.
Mm-hmm. So there's 8 that you see.
And 7 spots, right?
And 7 spots, yeah.
I like those odds.
Yeah. Okay. What are you guys doing? This guy, you hear him start to mumble. The guy in the middle.
And the guys who are the McCullough's men who are against the wall, they're kind of up in this area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like pinned against the wall magically.
Hmm.
Rodney rushes forward at the nearest acolyte on the nearest spot and gives him a furious shoulder check and rushes towards the guy in the middle, screaming the word, "Exterminatus!"
Nice.
And, well, it rolled. It wasn't meant to roll, but basically I make an oath, and that is my spoken promise to Coot that I will defeat this enemy at the center of the circle. I will defeat an additional 2d4 damage against that enemy and -4 damage against anyone else.
Hmm. Oh, very nice. Very nice. So you're rushing him?
Yeah, just bum rushing him. And his thinking is that he can hope interrupt the ritual at least momentarily by knocking that guy out of his position. And we'll see what happens. He ain't got much to lose, folks, at this point. Yeah. He's seeing this through all the way to the end, baby.
So I think with him getting knocked out, McCullough's men are kind of set free. They hit the ground in a bit of a clang. The acolytes in the circle are kind of at a loss. They're not prepared to do battle. You know, they're not carrying weapons or anything like that, but this guy in the middle is not taking kindly to you interrupting his summoning. Adaraz, what are you doing? You see Rodney rush forward and knock into this old mage looking guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's on. So I'm gonna pull back my hood.
Nice. The gig is up.
Let's do this, Rodney. And sure, I'm gonna cast Magic Missile.
Got to.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Wouldn't be right without it.
Yeah. Let's see. Here we go. Nice.
Okay, 13.
Nice. And so here's something.
Mm-hmm.
So if I did this correctly, I got a new advance move.
Okay.
Which, and I took Empowered Magic. which if I roll a 10 or more, I have the option of choosing from the 7 to 9 list. And if I do, I may choose another effect, which could be the effects are maximized or the spell's targets are doubled.
All right. You can do that.
Yeah, well, let's see what's 7 to 9. It was a -1. It was a. Yeah, I got to do it because I've got it. I will. There's something about unwanted attention, which seems to be what I already have.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll generate unwanted attention. The spell will go off and its effects are maximized. Which, let's see. Let's just make sure I get it right. 2d4 damage. So 8 damage.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just making some notes.
Taste it, old man.
That's right.
Your journey ends here.
Taste the Alcaraz rainbow.
Prismatic spray. I was gonna say this. You know, this guy is kind of a badass. So you're really gonna have to hurt him. That did it.
The hurt starts now.
So you shoot your magic missiles, and you know he's kind of taken off guard because Rodney just ran into him. He's focused on Rodney. You see, about half of your magic missiles hit him before the other half kind of seemed to like be absorbed by him a little bit. You have his attention for sure. Mm-hmm. And he's shouting. So he's going to shout to his acolytes, "Men, stand your ground. Commence the ritual." And they're going to kind of furtively look at each other. And they'll start with their ritual again. They're chanting in a language you don't recognize that sounds ancient and powerful. And Rodney, this guy has his back to you, and you are exterminatus on him.
We are going to use the kick some ass move. I know that's from Spirit of 77 and not Dungeon World. It just sounds a little more emphatic when I say that instead of hack and slash, but it's hack and slash.
Sure.
So I'm going to take a cut at him.
Okay. So again, he's kind of a magical badass. I think, in the narrative, he does have his back to you, but I'm going to need some, are you actually going to hurt this guy who's some, magical wards or something around him?
Rodney braces as he makes contact with a 9, dealing damage to the enemy, and the enemy makes an attack against me.
Mm-hmm. Look real quick. Okay, so you do your damage.
All right, so that's a d10, first of all, and then the 2d4 extra after that. So the first roll, we hit him for 9, and then I'll do 2d4 on top of that. And the pyramids say,
"Ooh,
snake eyes." So snake total of 11. Eyes. 11 snake eyes on a pyramid. That's an ill omen. Yeah. So a total of 11.
Okay. What is your weapon? It's been a little while. What do you use for hack and slash? Your longsword? So how are you coming at him? Are you going up top? Are you trying to stab him?
Yeah.
Oh, you broke up a little bit.
I'm going for that shot where you go from the collarbone down to the torso, just a big overhead swing, rushing up, swords raised, schlunk.
And it connects, and you feel it bite into him, and it hurts, and then he says a word that you don't understand, and it kind of electrifies your sword, and you see up your sword kind of same lightning that struck down the acolyte. And that does. It comes up and zaps you. Look at the notes here. And that's going to do
2d30.
didn't give me the option. So that's going to do 6 damage.
All right. Now, I already had myself at 16 of 22. I don't remember what that was from.
I think that's right.
Okay, because I'm kind of sick, so I was thinking that might be the case.
There's part of that, yeah.
All right,
yeah, that'll something. Take me... I don't think it's been a while since you guys have.
Yeah, I'll take it down exactly to 10. Down to 10 of 22.
And it hurts, and you feel the magic power as it has kind of entered your body, and the sickness in you kind of. Almost like you've felt it like it was alive, but it like comes to life, like it's excited, like it's this energy that this guy has, these things are kind of attracted to, and you feel them kind of surge inside of you.
It's disappointing. I thought I'd cook off my liver a little bit, but alas.
Yeah. His magic is what brought those things into this world. So he is going to step forward out from around your sword, Rodney, and he mutters a word and kind of waves his hand, not waves it, but like rubs his hand on the wound, and you see it kind of stitch up under his hand. He's still obviously hurt, like he's Adaraz, you would see from the other angle. He's got a little blood trickling out of his mouth, but he's not actively bleeding. He was able to kind of stitch that up, but and he steps back into the circle and starts to mutter. Adaraz, I think back to you. I think he's gonna. Yeah, go ahead.
I kind of turn to see where McCullough's men are, assuming that they're there. I don't know that they are.
They're still there.
Get them.
Yep.
Get them. Okay.
Good call. Yeah, they're kind of looking. They're looking a little dazed. They're not used to this kind of thing, and they're also kind of, city guards. So they're not used to acting without orders. So you getting them into the fray is probably a good call.
I thought I'd. Give him a little encouragement there. Come on, guys, you can do this. Mm-hmm. No big deal.
And they'll rush forward. And they'll kind of, how would they do it? Maybe they just go into the frame. And the guy in the middle is going to you hear him muttering. And he's he starts to levitate again, and I need you guys both to make. So what he's doing, I guess in the fiction, is he's trying to cast that same spell against you guys that had McCullough's men pinned up against the wall. So you feel the magic coming at you, trying to pin you against the wall. It's going to be a defy danger. Tell me how you're getting through it, and we'll base the rolls on that. Rodney, how are you getting through this spell?
Rodney clutches his Boda bag for strength.
Uh-huh.
And calls upon Coot's name.
Yep. There you go.
All right. Defy danger. Is that a basic move?
Yeah. So just roll strength.
All right. Here we go.
It's an 8.
That's an 8. That's splitting the wickets.
Yep. And Otteraz, how are you getting through it? You can do some kind of anti-magic. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be casting a spell, you know, just kind of magical resistance kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll steal myself with my inner magical reserves.
Okay. So I think that's intelligence.
Okay.
8 again. So for both of you. You stumble, hesitate, or flinch. The gene will offer you a worse outcome, a hard bargain, or an ugly choice. Yeah. So I think what can happen, and I don't even know that these are choices. If you guys have ideas here, he's trying to pin you against the wall. You're gonna get through it. Maybe here's what happens. I guess I'm offering you.
I'm always open to a hard bargain, just so you know. I'm an open book here.
No, for sure. So there's a couple things I'm thinking about. What I was initially gonna say is, it works like the you hesitate kind of thing, where you're not thrown against the wall, but you're kind of stuck in place, which is going to buy him a little time. I think the hard bargain might be, and maybe this comes from Otteraz's, magical deflection, is that the power deflects from you guys, that all the magical energy that was going against the four of you is going to get focused against these two guys. And I think it'll be enough to kill them. It'll throw them up against the wall in a way that will make them crumble. And with that, give me just 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Let you guys pull that over.
I'm having a moment of reflection as well. Yep. So that sounds like a put the child to bed cue. Stand by. Domestic disturbance.
Yeah. Mine are old enough to do that on their own.
It's a blessing when that happens. You know, I go around the neighborhood and I'm out on my walk or riding my bike, getting some exercise, and I see these parents out there on walks or in their yard with their little toddlers, and I'm like, more power to you. Oh man, it's hard enough as it is, and wow, right now, heart goes out to you.
Yeah, my brother and sister-in-law live in Indianapolis. They've got little ones, I want to say 3 and maybe not quite 5. And they're both teachers. And
so now
they're at home and they're doing teaching things and they've got little ones and basically no help.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. So do they work in shifts or have you talked about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess to be fair, let's see what my sister, what does Anna do? Like, I think Anna does auditory work. Like, it's almost kind of like a special ed type of thing. So I don't know that she's fully, you know, she can't really do that remote. Or maybe she can. We really haven't talked about it, but I'm having trouble envisioning it.
Auditory skills and such, you know, working with people with needs on that level. I mean, the computer's probably presents challenges there.
Yeah.
All right, I'm back. Sorry about that.
No worries. How's Cameron doing? Is Cameron all right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's okay.
Good.
He's
good.
He's, you know, he misses school. He misses being able to get out of the house and go to the park and go to the gym.
Yeah. Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah. And my is having some weird sciatica pain, and so she's like locked up. So she's trying to get him in bed. He's fighting. She's in pain, so I had to go. I am the Cameron.
Give everybody some pot cream. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Pot cream for everybody.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yep. Sleep tight.
Peach solution.
Yep.
For everything. Great.
That's right. That's right.
Me too. Yeah. I'll take it. So you guys can kind of give these guys a free round, or these guards are not going home tonight. I think that's the bargain.
Yeah, you know, I'm not so bad with, you said a free round, did you mean like we're stuck in place? Or I mean, I don't know if we can.
Yeah, so you would be frozen.
Frozen. Okay, so like I was thinking, well, I don't care if I can't move because I can still stay in place and cast spells. But you think you're saying no, I'm fully frozen.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So no gestures. Okay. It's only two guys. Right, Rodney. We got. Right, yeah. Where's McCullough and the other guy? Weren't there other guys?
Yeah. They took the.
All right, I'll let the fiction answer this one, because Rodney is just so dead on focused and fighting with every last ounce of healthy cells and vitality that he has left in his body. He's throwing everything at it. So I'm going to say it deflects and it takes somebody out, because he's just so bullishly focused on taking this guy down. He called down Exterminus. So
yep, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. See it to the end.
Fair enough. So these guys fling back against the walls, and then they crumple as well.
I gave them a no.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You'll pay for that.
And he flashes you a look. and you know what? I've neglected. Outie is here.
Yeah.
And I think she was kind of stuck on the landing, seeing all this shit go down. I think what she did is she rushed upstairs, kind of leaving you in the lurch momentarily. And she'll rush back down with. You know, we'll say that happened last round. She'll rush back down with McCall, though. So you guys are back up to 4-on-8. Not bad odds. You got the best of the best here. but what happens is, because Audi came with you, Rodney, you might be a little bit more tuned in. You hear kind of a crash from the level above you, and you hear a familiar tink-tink of silver on stone as the cup that you hooked up
rolls
down the stairs. Worse for wear, it's had a long, strange journey. But this guy pulling it pretty consistently. It made his way, and it does this thing it did before, where it kind of rushes to that spot. the other simulacra cup leaves the circle, and this guy starts to glow.
What?
And the chanting gets louder, and kind of picks up from nowhere. What do you do?
Rodney's going to lunge at that cup. That cup should be there. And he's just like,
okay. didn't go well last time.
Nope.
Okay. So yeah, the cup is actively fighting against you, and it's willing to be here in a way that's foreign, and you feel Coot's strength enter you as you reach for this cup, but it is actively fighting against you. I think defy danger con, as you feel Coot battling these afflictions inside of you, these nasty things. He's doing what he can to help, but this cup is after.
All right, so con, defy danger. Here it comes. Middle of the road 7.
Middle of the road.
Rodney, what does it feel like when your liver explodes?
Yeah, that's where we're getting. I think you can get the cup out, but I think you're going to be, you know, not zero HP, but you're going to be incapacitated. The fight is going to go against you. Coot can only do so much against these things. The pain inside of you will kind of put you out of the fight.
Rodney screams, eyes roll back as he rolls bodily at top this chalice and holds it in place.
And as you let on the cup, Adaraz, you see this guy's glowing. This is kind of the moment they were waiting for. The cup gets to location, and you see the air around the guy start to shimmer. And Adaraz pulls the cup out, but you see this around this guy, this kind of opening in reality. Let me get to my notes here. So Adaraz, when you stand in sight of a portal of Vord, roll plus wisdom. You see the shimmering. You have the idea that this is what they've been doing. Maybe not in the way you guys in the, just to kind of fill some gaps, the circles you've seen have been the 7 points. There is nothing other than burn marks in the middle where you know the opening, the portal opened, but it didn't have that kind of internal circle of safety. So you get a feeling that this is a bit different, but this is kind of what was going on to bring those other things through. So on a 7 and 9, you are under the watchful gaze of Vord. You see a dark vision of your future. What you see is in the land that we have the Council of Four, the four kind of elder gods that reign, that everyone worships, along with the minor deities. What you see is a world without wine, with beer, without beer. And all of the cross-shaped churches that you know in all the major places of worship are replaced with a single tower, Tower to Vord.
This truly is hell.
This is bad.
And what do you do? Adaraz, you see this portal open. Audi and Mikalo are behind you, kind of on the landing to the stairs. Mikalo's a little bit out of loss, a bit above his pay grade. But Audi is fascinated by what's happening. And she'll kind of slow look forward.
And Rodney has bile coming out of the corner of his mouth.
Yeah, I see Rodney kind of down here, kind of huddled over, not feeling well.
And is, I mean, if, with this portal, is the guy stepping through it? Is he already in it? Is he?
It's spinning around him.
It's okay, spinning around him. Well, yeah, I can only think. I'm gonna shoot some more magic missiles at him.
Okay. Okay. Oh, nice. Jesus.
12. Yeah, I'll do the same thing. Like, I'll take the maximum and do the 7 to 9 as a trade-off. As what are the options? -1. I don't like that. I don't want to.
So that does spell. That does 8 damage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll draw unwelcome attention. I didn't say this before, or put myself in a spot.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that's kind of what happened before. It kind of drew his ire away from Rodney.
Yeah.
Until Rodney stabbed him. And you see again the missiles hit him, and the portal starts to shrink around him as he kind of starts to summon, or you know, he's distracted, so this portal is kind of waning, and seeing that the acolytes are a little unsure of what to do, and Audi continues to walk forward, just fascinated by this portal, this shimmering into reality that she sees in front of her. And Mikalo says, how did he refer to you before? Rodney? He called you. I can't remember. He says, what would you have us do?
Is he saying that to Rodney?
To you. He's
to me.
He's a little unsure.
I kind of say, get these blue cloaks off their spot. Knock them off their spot.
Okay.
And Adi, don't just stand there.
She's walking forward.
Walking.
Rodney, when you're in sight of the portal, take a drink from your Boda bag.
Gladly.
Roll plus strength.
All right, here we go. I'm all about the 7 tonight, kids.
Like the 7. Man, yeah, goodness
gracious.
Thank God for that plus 2 on my strength. Being the shitter.
You need every single one.
I'm ready for more trade-offs. Hit me, baby.
Yeah. Coot is pleased with your progress, and you feel his spirit fill you. He's helping, but he can either help you, or he can help keep these sicknesses at bay. So can back in the fight and take 2 damage, he can heal you for 2, but you're still incapacitated.
As Brody chokes down his shot. Exterminus! And he gets back up and into the fight. 2 nice. Damage more. Down 2 to 8.
Damage. 8 of 22. And the man
Roddy.
In the...
Oh yeah, go ahead. On. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Rodney's going... Rodney's like, so many bad decisions. And he goes right back for the guy in the middle.
Yep.
His hands, he's like watching a tennis match. Oh, it's the guy. It's the chalice. It's the guy. He doesn't know who to kill. He's going right back for what he thinks is best. He's going right for the guy in the center.
Are you holding the cup? Or are you just going to leave it behind?
Rodney's going to bring the cup with him and use it as an instrument of bludgeoning the guy. Okay, hoping that the call of the cup and the draw that it has is going to help mm-hmm. bring him to the center. He's looking for every little bit of help he can get.
Okay. The guy in the center, you see his eyes on Audi as she walks forward. She keeps walking, and she's inside the circle. And he reaches out his hand to her. He says, "Yes, join me. Your power with mine. We will open." And I know you guys have had suspicions about, but it doesn't seem like she's not evil. She's not been in on this. She's just kind of transfixed either by magic or by the magic of what this is. She has this natural curiosity for power and powerful magic specifically. She starts walking toward him. Adaraz, you see her entering this circle. She's reaching out her hand toward his hand. Mikalo goes. He probably goes to the same guy that's upstairs with you, and he's trying to wrench him out of the circle, but the wind kicks up. He's struggling. They're still chanting. The guy in the middle is still hovering. Adaraz, what do you do?
What's her deal? have something else going on here. I'm gonna run and tackle her.
Okay. Okay, that's a good call.
I'm not quite ready to shoot her up, but I'll tackle her.
Okay.
I'll get physical.
Yeah. I don't even know that this is. Because you're not trying to harm her. Fight danger. I don't think it is. I think you just tackle her. I think just kind of rush at her. You tackle mm-hmm. her. You're still so kind of fictional positioning. She had just entered the school, so I think you tackle her. You guys are both kind of still inside the circle a little bit, but she's not able to go into the center. The guy reaches out his hand. No, you fool! Rodney? Got the cut, the chalice raised.
Mm-hmm. Cease your drivel. And he prepares to haul back and smash the guy in the middle's jaw so he can't talk anymore.
Okay. A hack and slash.
Here we go. Wow. Come on, really?
Not in your favor here.
How can that be? What is this, Vassal?
Seriously.
I'm going to go play blackjack, guys. I'll see you later.
Yeah. What is your weapon's damage? What did we do before?
Well, I don't know what a chalice does, because the weapon, I have a D10 with the long sword. I don't know what a chalice would do.
Well, this is a magic chalice. Let's see.
Wielded by a man with intention.
Mm-hmm. So you're gonna, yeah. So, yeah. Give me. Let me just. I hate to do this. I want to. Yeah, these things aren't really statted out. Yeah, give me a D8. Give me a D10. This is magic silver chess.
Here we go, baby.
So D10 plus your 2D4.
All right, so that's 4 on the 2D10, and the 2D4 is... Drumroll, please. More snake eyes!
Jesus.
6. My dice tonight. Holy
wow.
Shit.
Wow.
I want these dice when I'm playing ASL. That'd be pretty good.
Goodness gracious. Okay. Wow.
So I chip a tooth. Mine.
you did just enough to get through his armor. So it hurts him. And you were going for his jaw. And he's in the middle of casting a spell at Adaraz to strike him down, or casting his lightning to cast him down for being so bold as to take this puppet that he was trying to bring into the circle, and his jaw crumbles, and it shatters in a way that it like almost folds in on itself, and it starts this kind of chain reaction of his body kind of and I hate to use a pop culture reference, but in Return of the King, the movie, when they kill the mouth of Sauron, where he kind of like imbues, crumples in on himself, that's kind of what happens. Like he like holds in himself around his jaw as his corporeal form dissipates and folds into the portal around him, and the spell is broken. The Aklas fall. The portal closes, and the chalice in your hand, Rodney. You no longer feel the evil dryness, vacuum that was before.
Rodney grabs the Boda bag, squeezes it into the chalice, and hopefully takes a drink this time.
It fills up. It fills up with that sweet, sweet spirit from Thorin. Thori was the innkeeper's name.
That's right. He's made sure I'm never dry.
That's right. The wind dies down room, and the acolytes all kind of crumple to the ground, obviously exhausted from their magical outing this evening. A couple of
Coot!
Them.
I'll get out the bag that the Boda bag that Rodney gave me in the past, and I'll take a sip of wine of my own.
Take a sip.
Yep.
And Audi will look at you. Her eyes clear. Say, can I have a drink of that?
Mm-hmm. Ah, I was just going to offer you some. Welcome back.
Yeah. Two is these acolytes kind of burst into tears as they see their master destroyed. Two of them try to rush up the stairs around when he takes them down.
I go up to them and force a drink from my Boda bag into each of their mouths.
Oh, very nice.
Drink!
Let me see.
I overmodulated there.
No, you're good. I had a move that from before, but these guys are defeated. They're going to sputter, to try to spit it out. Mikalo whistles up to his men. And you hear them clomp down the stairs, and they'll detain these men. But you have successfully defeated this cult. What would you like to do here? Anything in the wish you'd like to do?
Clap around. I'm feeling pretty shitty.
Oh, yeah. Rodney's a little worse. Boos helps.
always does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything that we don't know about the cup? Like, do we fully understand the cup?
All I can say is that it's not dry anymore.
Not dry. Yeah.
Yeah. At that tomb, there is an inscription about Vor dry cup, and it was kind of one of the symbols of his religion. And it looks like he has no power here.
Got it. Okay. No, I mean I don't if we've cleaned out we've taken care of all the blue cloaks, then and the magic guy in the middle, I think we've perhaps done our best.
I think so.
I need to lie down.
Yeah. And Mikala will call some men in. They'll bring a stretcher for you, a palanquin of some sort to get you upstairs. And I guess really, you know, there is a proprietor of the place, but Rob, you could help yourself to any of the magical wares upstairs. If you were inclined, you guys have definitely earned that.
Yeah, Rodney's looking to see if there's any magic absinthe. Aside from that, he's just interested.
nothing like that. There's probably no. I guess there's probably like a healing potion, just in the traditional healing sense.
Sure. So Rodney. This is so true of Rodney. First, he's looking for the absinthe. Oh, wait. You know, there might be something that actually medicinally, magically is known for its healing properties. Oh, sure. Right. I'll take one of those, too.
I guess I'll try that. quote, unquote, traditional medicine.
I'm not into prescription highs, man.
Right. All natural, baby. This is of Coot. So that'll heal you D12. Yeah, they got the good shit behind the counter. Roll more than 7. Oh, come on.
I was hoping it'd be a 7. Okay. So it's a 5, so I'm up to 13.
It's a 5. It helps a little bit. What you do notice, Rodney, as you drink from the Boda bag, and you take this healing potion that ichor and that fiery ice, the pain has dissipated, as the presence of really the chaos of Vord is gone from this world. You feel that pain abate.
No, I was getting kind of used to it too.
And your eye doesn't twitch more. Which is good. We're going cross-eyed, whatever it was. which is good. Adaraz, anything for you here?
Yeah, I mean, if I could check out the kind of behind the counter magic items too. I've got an enchanter advanced ability, which, you know, if I have time and I'm safely with a magic item, I might ask the GM what it does. The GM must answer truthfully.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's a short list of cool looking stuff that I might be able to, I don't know if it's, you know, open season on this stuff, but I could tell if there's anything going on.
Yeah, just give me a, I think you can just type it in. Give me a D40 roll. 35. So I think what we find is a short sword. Mm-hmm. And as you kind of commit it, the blade itself is as sharp as anything you've ever seen. Like it, like it's almost impossibly sharp. And you know that it takes from those it. So what you've found, and this is in the book, is an Orpal sword. Mm-hmm. So when you deal damage with it, enemy must choose something, an item, an advantage, a limb, and lose.
They must do what something? They must give something?
Choose something and lose it permanently.
Nice!
Yeah, so it's close, 3 piercing, and... And he had it kind of behind the counter in a place that, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And you could spend some time with it. And that, yeah, that's something that might be beneficial. Mm-hmm. Abby kind of has dusted herself off, is clearly trying to make up for her. She wasn't necessarily aware of what she was doing, but in fact, she kind of, you know, she's able to tell that she let herself be overcome with whatever was happening. So mm-hmm. she's overly apologetic and gracious. She'll offer both, because I guess it's pretty late now. She'll offer you both a place to stay. Inside the keep, if you would choose, and offer the keep, its grounds to you for the remainder of your stay.
Wonderful.
You guys take her up on it.
I'm due for a little hospitality, sure.
Okay.
Dibs on the feather bed.
Very nice. Yeah. You guys have earned it. As you exit the second wish and join her on the way back to the keep, you see Andu and the girl side. Uh-huh. They stay at a safe distance. They know trouble when it arises and you to stay well enough away. And Andu approaches. Sirs, did you win?
It appears so.
Oh, hopefully thank goodness.
That's the end of the danger we were facing.
So city is safe? We're safer anyway?
For now. For now. But be vigilant.
Optimist.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the birds will still come, yes? Looking at Rodney.
Forever and ever. And Rodney pats the side of his pouch and jingle, 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 jingle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they kind of, he and the girl kind of slip into the shadows as the city guard and these highfalutin folk are around.
As they head off, Rodney shouts, I'll see to it that everybody remembers your role in saving this city.
Very nice. All right. Audi gets you back to the keep. She'll give you both your room with a lock on the door.
Oh, wait, before we go to the room.
Yeah.
Audi, which way to your wine cellar?
Right this way, sir. And she'll show you to the finest they have. The keeper, who obviously isn't awake at this time of night, but he has the cellar in the city, of course, along with a nice collection of the spirits that the city distills.
All right, so Rodney stands in the middle of the room, motions everyone backward, takes a pull off the boat bag, and goes in a circle, and a fine atomized mist of whiskey fills the air. Coot, coot, coot! And then he smiles and heads back upstairs.
Yeah, you feel the power of coot. Raises a glass to you, wherever he is. He's well pleased.
I'm your guy. I'm your one guy. I'm your one guy. Yep.
I do a double index finger point at Rodney and go, "You the man." And then I give him a double thumbs up.
And freeze. Roll credits.
Roll credits. Yeah. That's right. That's fair.
No,
that's
go on. Fair. I'm sorry. Go on. It just felt like a police academy or squad moment. Yeah. Police squad.
Yeah.
Unless you guys had an epilogue. Good roll credits there.
No.
It was gonna be them offering the services of the city, and then you guys continue riding east, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Riding east to the coast, blessing every damn barrel along the way.
And yeah, the adventures.
On the ride out of town, I think wistfully back to town and think about the fair maiden back at the inn.
Mm-hmm. Two towns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Autraz. You know, when we head back west, we know what our last stop is going to be. You and Laura. It's back, destined.
Back in Saronic.
Destined.
Think she'll remember me?
Right. I don't think she'll be able to forget you.
Cool. And the great Autraz, Rodney of Coot, west into the sunrise.
Huzzah! Well done, Jason.
Gentlemen, I love
a Jason finale. Jason finale is always so much fun.
Sometimes I miss the dismount a little bit, but this one was a little bit smoother. I didn't drink as much tonight. That's
I'm still shell shocked from the Jersey 83 finale.
That one was rough, yeah.
Well, it was fantastic. But boy, I'm still a little scarred. Still a little scarred. I'll never forget it. That's good. It was good.
I think about that module all the time.
Wow. Wow.
It was gross. Gentlemen, thank you so much. This was a blast.
Yeah, thank you. And we got DCC coming up too, right?
Yeah, that's Tuesday.
Is that to come next week? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Ooh, next Tuesday?
Tuesday or Monday? What is today? Today Monday. Is Tuesday. Yeah, so it's next Monday.
Monday, yep.
St. George.
Boy, I need to catch up now. Our let's see, Brain Pan.
Are you gonna be able to make it?
Is Brain Pan still alive?
I think both of you guys are still alive.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Because I missed two sessions and woefully so.
You guys have a bear now?
Oh really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That'll be the finale too. You guys are the last area of that. So wrapping up two things.
It'll be so good. I love both Brain Pan and Tundafinger.
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 Classic.
Great stuff, guys.
This was so much fun.
I enjoyed this. I like these characters.
It's a lot of fun and doing the two character and GM deal.
Yeah.
Man, it's got a lot of traction. It really works. It really works. Fun. You don't do it all the time, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. See you for the next one.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll see you guys Monday for DCC.
Monday. All right, gentlemen.
Good night.
All right. Buenos noches.
Oh, later. What I didn't say. I forgot I had a thing because you guys have been dreaming the whole time. You guys dreamed last night as you slept in the key, and then you went to town the next morning into the sunrise. That's what it was. That's what it was. No dreams. Peaceful night sleep.
Got it. Oh, that's right. Nice.
For once.
Yes.
For once.
Yeah. And Rodney for the listeners who are listening and work.
Yeah. Rodney pats his liver as he goes into deeper REM sleep.
tie off those loose ends.
That's right. And with that, gentlemen,
I bid you good night. Take care, guys. Bye. Yeah,